Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Deadhead Cannabis Show. This is Jim Marty reporting from beautiful Denver, Colorado, where they've been putting up the Christmas lights here today.
Jim, how you doing? It's Larry Mishkin, and I'm here talking to you from my home in lovely Evanston, Illinois, where we are certainly moving in the direction that most people think of when they think of Chicago this time of year. Warmer days, but very cold nights with not a lot of sunshine. I'm waiting for them to put up the lights in downtown Chicago, but unfortunately, our numbers have been rising, and it looks like we might be facing another lockdown for a while here, which, while unfortunate, you know, for society at large, continues to be nothing but a boon for the legal cannabis industry. You know, and the more we're locked down, the more the business seems to go. Which is very nice. Of course, it would be nicer if we had another 75 dispensaries to be servicing the public. But as you and I have been talking about for a while, Jim, no, nothing new on that front. We're all still waiting and waiting and waiting. And, you know, we'll see if and when the state ever decides to issue those licenses so that we can expand this industry out and, you know, really make it a good one for everybody.
Yes, a few comments there is in various states over in Nevada, their delivery services are going gangbusters. Here in Colorado, we don't have delivery, but we do have curbside pickup. So this industry is thriving. I think I've mentioned that we'll do well over $2 billion in Colorado this year in cannabis sales at the retail level. And other things are going on too. So we can talk about a podcast that will promote a podcast we're doing tomorrow for the Trepp School. And they're also in Illinois. Do you recall the town that they're in?
I don't off the top of my head, but they seem to be a very interesting group that actually operates as kind of a school for individuals. A lot of it, I do believe, to be social equity based so that individuals can have an opportunity to really learn about the cannabis market and the way things work, both from a cannabis perspective and a business perspective. And Jim and I are both very honored to have been asked to participate in one of the webinars that the school hosts, and that's going to be tomorrow. And generally speaking, we're going to be covering a topic addressing what applicants can be doing between the time they've submitted their application and while they're waiting to hear back from their respective state to find out whether or not they have won a license. Because a lot of people tend to just say, well, that's it. The applications is in. There's not a whole lot to do, when in fact, there's quite a lot to do. And if Jim and I can get it all in about an hour and a half tomorrow, that'll be a miracle. So that's just to give you all an idea. But it's a great opportunity. We would highly recommend you check out the Trepp School. That's T-R-E-P. And read up a little bit about them and see what they do. And you might find it very interesting. And I'm sure that next week we'll give our listeners an update on how that went down.
Yes. I was just going to say it's going to be at 1 p.m. Central, I believe.
Yes, that's correct.
And yeah, the Trepp School teaches entrepreneurial class to minority applicants. And so this is going to be them expanding out into cannabis. And they're very interested in the social equity programs and also the craft licenses.
Yep. And, you know, in Illinois, for better or for worse, we seem to be experts on that. So we'll certainly have a lot to talk with them about. Today, however, we're really lucky because we have with us another great guest and our producer, Dan Humiston, once again, lining up some excellent people for us to speak with. And today's guest is a gentleman named Greg Washington. Greg, I think you all are going to find to be very interesting. He's a veteran. And what he does now is he is the founder and he runs a company called Guards Down. And as Greg, I'm sure, can explain a lot more eloquently than I, basically what he does is he works with fellow vets who have come home after their service for their country, and especially vets that have experienced PTSD and other types of issues such as that. And we find his story to be really, really fascinating. We think the work he's doing is outstanding and deserves publicity as much as possible. And so we're very, very happy to welcome Greg to our show today. Greg, it's a pleasure to have you with us.
Larry and Jim, I appreciate you guys having me on. And thank you so much for just the opportunity to speak. The company is called Guards Down, and we're cannabis focused, you know, from the CBD aspect. And so when you look at what's going on with veterans and with the world. We're trained to go to war, right? We're trained to defend our countries. You have these great young Americans that will raise their hand and say, you know, I will go out and defend our country. But what happens to them when they come home? And so today's war versus yesteryear's war is completely different. You know, where, you know, in history, back in time, it took weeks, months in order for us to transition and come back to combat, or, you know, to come back home from combat. Nowadays, we can go fight and be home in less than 48 to 72 hours.
Wow.
And so for a person to be able to transition, you know, physically and mentally, you know, from that state of mind is tough on anyone. And so what I've been doing since I've got out the military is raising awareness for PTSD and complicated grief. And so I graduated from West Point, played football while I was there, and graduated and was commissioned as an infantry officer. I was deployed to Afghanistan and Iraq, where I ended up losing my two best friends, Emily Perez and Scotty Pace. And that haunted me and dealt with the core of my soul, because these were two great Americans that were just some awesome, special people that they were taken too soon. And so to be able to deal with that anger and frustration in that moment, deploy, still accomplish the mission, and then come home and try to be dad, try to be brother, try to be son, nephew, you know, all of these things that society wants us to be, man, I found it to be very hard and frustrating, to the point where, you know, on top of that, I was dealing with the emotional and mental strains of PTSD and grief. And I was also going through my own, you know, issues of nerve damage and, you know, TBI and PTSD and insomnia, you know, on my own from, you know, from the missions that I was on. And so I found myself one day wanting to commit suicide. Wow. And if it wasn't for my baby cousin, a family member, checking on me and just calling and say, "Hey, cousin Greg, what are you doing? You know, me and mommy, we're broke. We're going to go to Walmart and window shop. You want to come with us?" Things would have been completely different for me. And so moving forward from that, I wanted to do more. I wanted more for myself and for my life, because I knew that their sacrifice, Emily and Scotty, I didn't want it to be in vain.
Sure.
And so I wanted to have more. I climbed the corporate ladder. I started my own business. I went and got extra schooling, but I wasn't fulfilled. It wasn't until I walked away from a six-figure job that I called one of my closest friends and said, "Hey, look, I need to figure out my purpose, and I want to give back to what I know, to the soldiers, to the military, right? That selfless service aspect of my life, because that was my greatest moments." And so I called him, and he helped me. You know, he's a life coach. His name is Jerome Myers. And we walked through and figured out how to create Guards Down and how to start giving back. And so I have a for-profit, I have a podcast and a nonprofit that I'm working with that help raise awareness for PTSD and complicated grief. We're looking at it from the standpoint of, you know, cultural sensitive therapy. If your therapist or clinician looks like you or has been through the same things that you've been through, then I strongly believe that the connection between the two will be much more effective, which will allow the treatment to be more effective and the dropout rate to lower, and, you know, the outcomes to be more positive. And so, you know, you couple that with owning the fact that, okay, yeah, look, we're going through something, and we're not just relying on the doctors to tell us what's wrong with us, but we're taking accountability to say, okay, well, hey, look, I'm feeling this way. This is what I'm going through. Let me research. Let me find out what I'm dealing with, define it so I can put a game plan towards it and some action towards it so that I can overcome it. And so, you know, we're all about alternative medicine and healing and giving people those tools and that research knowledge for them to be able to understand what, you know, they're physically going through to be able to help themselves. Because the whole thing is, I want to be able to help someone that is dealing with suicide, and not just me, but guards now. I have a whole team, and I mean, we are fully focused on just being able to provide people with the tools, techniques, and knowledge of how to save yourself.
Very interesting, Greg. And how does cannabis fit into your program?
And so when we talk about cannabis, for me, it's the CBD side of the house. I'm definitely for medical marijuana as a whole and recreational marijuana. But when you look at veterans and knowing that, you know, active duty and some non-active duty, you know, that still get military benefits, we're not able to completely partake in it without, you know, some repercussions. You have to thread lightly. You have to tread lightly. And so I'm on the CBD side of the house to be able to say that, you know, there are some benefits to CBD and to cannabis because it's natural to the body. When I was in the military and got out, I used to have to take 8 to 10 pills a day. This bag that I'm holding up, this is what I would have had to take within a year's time frame just to sustain myself because of all the things that I was dealing with, from nerve damage to headaches to just being sore and in pain and being numb. And so I found that cannabis in itself, right, all of these natural properties help you heal and doesn't cause you to have all of these bad and negative side effects that opioids would, you know, would potentially give. And so that was my focus and my reasoning for jumping into, you know, the whole cannabis industry in 2012, 2013. Now, I will say being Black in cannabis was a obstacle in itself on top of just trying to get into the cannabis industry. And so, you know, having to make that pivot from cannabis to, you know, CBD, you know, is where I've been at for the last, you know, 2.5 years. And so guards down is what, you know, I truly been focusing on to be able to provide people with a approachable solution to alternative medicine when it comes to cannabis.
Craig, let me ask you this. During your time in the military, what was your experience in terms of what you saw? Is there a lot of cannabis use among soldiers in the military while they're on service? We always see the movies about Vietnam and the soldiers, you know, who would sit around and smoke joints. Is that realistic? Do soldiers actually use cannabis?
Heck no. I would say something else, but no. Okay. On active duty service, you know, when you look at it and going into theater as well as being in garrison environment, your command tells you cannabis is illegal and you're not allowed to use it just because it was a Schedule I, you know, drug. And so nowadays you don't get soldiers that will, you know, will use it because it's against, you know, the rules and regulations of the Army. Now, when it comes to topicals, right, that's a different story. You can use a topical cream to, you know, to apply to an area that's ailing, a pain cream or a relief cream in that sense. But anything that's edible, you know, the military warns against it because if you come up hot, you got to deal with those consequences.
Well, Greg, let me ask you this then. Do you find it sometimes to be a challenge to work with guys who have been in the military and have been basically hearing the whole time, say no to drugs, say no to drugs, say no to drugs. And then, you know, they want to come work with you. And now all of a sudden, you know, cannabis is being introduced back to them, or maybe for the first time. Do you find that there's a little struggle there to kind of win them over to your side, to see it as something that's beneficial instead of something that's potentially harmful?
I do find it as a struggle, and I like it because it's a history lesson.
Sure.
Right, in itself. So, you know, to talk about why marijuana is a Schedule I drug, you know, you take it back to the early years. And once you explain, you know, what was going on in those time frames and bring it to the point of, well, hey, now look, we're dealing with an opioid epidemic, and to explain the natural effects of cannabis and how it helps the body. I mean, it's an easy sell for anyone. You know, once you get behind the science and you start to, you know, really learn and do your research about it.
Well, especially on the, as you put it, the CBD side of the house, have the high, and that high can lead to anxiety. So going on the CBD side, you don't have that added level of anxiety that some people get when they smoke marijuana.
Correct. And that's the good part, because, you know, and a lot of folks, when, you know, they ask, well, what's the difference? I tell them, when you're dealing with, you know, cannabis and THC, that's the head high. That's from, you know, the neck up. That's the euphoric feeling that you get when you're smoking. Now, when you're taking CBD, that's the body high. That's from the neck down. That's when you start to feel relaxed. That's when, you know, like the senses start to just, lack of a better words, jail. And, you know, you feel in a much calmer, you know, safer state. And so I always tell people, you know, don't knock it until you try it, because CBD is very beneficial. You can take a CBD product and you could literally get rid of 2 to 3 different pills that, you know, you have in your regimen on a daily basis because of the natural effects of that cannabis does for the body.
And how many participants do you have in your Guard Down program?
The Guard Down program, it's fairly new. We roughly have 125 members that are part of our closed group program, but we're reaching 1,000 followers right now. And so we are at pre-rev, right, from a business model of being able to launch. So within the next 2 months, we're going to be launching, you know, the full suite of Guards Down and what we're doing and offering to the public. So you'll look at CBD products. You will look at a knowledge-based center of being able to learn about CBD, learn about PTSD and complicated grief, and get connected to counselors and life coaches and a community of people that will help you along the way. And so this Guards Down effect is in this is what I'm hoping, you know, in theory, will help a person to curb the thoughts of suicide, right? Because you get 21 veterans on average a day that commit suicide. And a lot of us suffer in silence because we're afraid to go to counseling. We're afraid to, you know, open up to our family, and we're afraid to say anything at work because of the stigmas that are associated with it.
One last question for Greg before we jump out of here. And I heard you mention this right at the very beginning, Greg, and I hope won't mind my irreverence for swinging back to it. What position did you play at Army?
I played outside linebacker.
And here's my other question. Did you ever beat Navy?
We did. My freshman year was the time we beat Navy before they went on that long 9 to 10 year stint of, you know, of winning. But my freshman year, my plebe year, was the last time we beat Navy.
Okay. I always cheer for Army in that game. Just because I don't like Roger Staubach, but that's another story.
I get you. Yeah. And I love coming from the military and coming from West Point, just because it teaches you so much about leadership and your character. And it allows you to be a part of something else that is greater than you. Right. And so, you know, playing there, I gave it my all. My senior year, I ended up leading the nation in tackling during the regular season.
Wow.
And I had a chance to go to the NFL. If you look me up, I'm right there in the NFL on the draft boards.
Who did you get drafted by?
I didn't get drafted.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
But you were on the board.
I was on the board at the time.
It's a lot closer than most of us will ever get.
Exactly. At the time, our nation was at war, and it was a choice of, well, what are you going to do? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, you take these great Americans like Pat Tillman and his sacrifice, right, to say, you know, I was in the NFL and I want to go enlist and serve my country.
Yep. He walked away from all of that. That was always amazing to me.
Correct. And so, you know, for me, it was, I want to serve. I was a part of 9/11. I was a freshman when 9/11 happened at West Point.
Wow.
And I remember my mom calling me and saying, hey, son, like, this just happened. Aren't you ready to come home? And I was like, nah, Ma, you know, I came here to serve with my brothers and sisters, and this is what I'm going to do.
My country needs me, sure.
And so, you know, that's the route we went. She said some tears. She made me cry myself. But at the end of the day, you know, my heart and mind was made up that I wanted to serve my country and be there for my brothers and sisters in arms.
And now you're still there for them on the back end, too.
Indeed. Indeed.
That's wonderful. Wonderful.
Well, this has been an excellent interview, and thank you so much for joining us here, Greg.
Okay. One other thing. I'm sorry, Jim. I keep cutting you off here. Tell us about your podcast really quickly. When does it air, and where can people find it?
Yes. So my podcast is called Guards Down, and I'm through Buzzsprout. You can find me in all the major outlets, Apple Podcasts, Google, and on Pandora. Just type in Greg Washington or guardsdown.com or guardsdown, and you will see me. We air every Tuesday, and we have some very heavy but inspirational episodes where we have soldiers, military personnel that have gone from victim to survivor to hero because they're telling their stories of what they experienced and what they've been through to help others. And so, you know, I always tell a person, you die twice, once in the physical form and the last time that your name is spoken. And so for our soldiers, our military personnel that are out there, you know, I invite them to come onto the show to tell their story because I want to be able to help them leave a legacy of the people that they lost, that they love the most, to be able to honor them in that way. And also help others that are struggling, dealing with suicide and depression, to be able to get some tools in their toolkits to help them fight another day.
Excellent. And you said it's guardsdown.com?
Well, it is guardsdown.com. That's the website. You'll be able to find all of our stuff on there. And if you wanted to search for the podcast, it's Guards Now.
Okay. Excellent.
And once again, thank you for being on our show. Very much appreciate it.
Absolutely. One of the things we do typically at this point, Greg, is true to the name of our show. We make a sharp pivot away from all things marijuana, and although it's not always pivoting away from marijuana, depending on who we're talking about. And, you know, and Jim and I like to kick around stories of the good old days, the Grateful Dead, Fish, and stuff like that. As we tell all of our guests who we welcome on our show, being a fan of the Grateful Dead is not a prerequisite, although, you know, it could certainly make you more popular if you like them. But, you know, one of the following along that whole line of questions I was asking you before about like the way that the movies display drug use, you know, they also always show the guys sitting in their barracks blasting out whatever the latest rock and roll is or whatever like that. You know, what was your experience over there in terms of music? Is that something you guys even have time to listen to?
We do, and music is a part of our everyday life, and it helps us get us motivated. You'll see soldiers right before we go out on missions. We'll have, you know, our earbuds in, and we're just focusing, getting our minds right. And so I am a fan of the Grateful Dead. My biggest fan or my favorite artist is the Red Hot Chili Peppers. Them.
Oh, sure. You had me at the Red Hot Chili Peppers. They're you know, what an amazing band. And, yeah. You know, interestingly, it's one, Jim, that you and I don't think have ever even really discussed on this show.
Demon Hunters.
Oh, the Demon Hunters. Them I'm not as familiar with, but Red Hot Chili Peppers. And they're very popular in my family. My kids like them. My wife likes them. And why not? They're great music. And Anthony Kiedis and all of those guys, man, they just come out and make it happen.
Indeed. My first concert... And this was my first concert, and it is so sad, was at the age of 31, and it was to go see the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
That's not sad. Welcome to the party, man. You know, it just takes some people a longer time to show up. That's all.
Where did you see them?
Oh, I was here in New Orleans. They were at the Superdome. And I mean, like, when I say they put on a show, like, I was like, yep, I'm good. Like, I'm glad I'm here.
Do you ever make it over to Jazz Fest when they're having it?
Oh, I go to Jazz Fest. Jazz Fest is my treat. So my birthday is May 2nd.
Oh,
and so perfect. That second weekend of Jazz Fest is when my birthday. So that's always my treat to myself. I always make it out so that I could see Maze and Frankie Beverly.
Oh, sure. They got great stuff down there. That's lovely. You know, that I've gone a couple of times. I've got friends who go every year. And if I could figure out a way to get down there every year, I would. I like to call it Lollapalooza for adults.
Exactly. Exactly. My first year here in New Orleans, I think I gained about 20 pounds just trying to like eat all the different foods and stuff.
Right.
It was amazing.
Yeah, I've been to Jazz Fest a few times. I love the gospel tent. I love the blues tent. So much great culture. Are you from New Orleans originally, Greg?
I'm not. I'm originally from Fayetteville, North Carolina, or Fort Bragg. They call it Vietnam. Mm-hmm. And I moved to New Orleans after I got out the military.
Oh, it's a great city.
It is. It's a wonderful atmosphere. It's the melting pot because you have all of these different cultures of music and art. And I mean, just to be able to, you know, walk out the door, you know, listen to the sound of some music, and I'll be like, I'm going that way.
Well, that, and then, of course, there's always beignets at 2 a.m, which is awesome.
Oh, man, indeed. It sounds like I need to get you and Jim out here.
Hey, you don't have to twist my arm. If we need,
hopefully they'll have a Jazz Fest this May, and you'll see Larry and I there.
For sure. We can do remote location. We can use your studio.
I know we just recently got a notice where they weren't going to do Mardi Gras this year. There weren't going to be any floats for the Mardi Gras parade this year. So I'm hoping that, you know, we'll bounce back. Everybody do what they're supposed to.
Yep.
And COVID pass, and we'll be able to get back to a normal, regular life.
That would be wonderful, wouldn't it? Live music, man. We're all jonesing for it.
Indeed.
Well, I think we'll let Greg go, and then Larry, you and I can kick around a few things here for a few minutes.
Sure. Greg, thank you so much for being on the show today. It was really a pleasure to have you. Your story is fascinating and inspirational. I hope that, you know, our listeners have enough of an interest to follow up and track down Greg on his websites, and also tune into his podcast and hear what he has to say. And just as importantly, what his guests have to say, because while it's easy for us guys to sit here, you know, and shoot the breeze all day about marijuana and, you know, the Grateful Dead, you know, the people whose attention, you know, we really should be paying, who we should really be paying attention to are the folks who go overseas and help protect us so that we can afford to sit around and talk about the Grateful Dead and marijuana. So thank you for all of your service. Thank you for your service with service members afterwards. And hopefully we will speak with you again soon.
Indeed. I appreciate it, Larry, Jim, Dan, you guys. Y'all take care.
Okay. Thank you, Greg.
Thanks, Greg. And otherwise, Jim, I think what else you got for me today?
Not much. You know, we're so far into the pandemic that there's not been a lot of music.
No, and it is definitely a little frustrating, I think. You know, I've been talking with friends all over, and everybody's, you know, looking for a place to grab a show here or there. The drive-in shows seem to be becoming very popular around the country. A buddy of mine and our good friend Alex Wellens just out in San Francisco the other day went to see who did he tell me he just went and saw? I can't think of their name. I'll think of it in a minute. But you know, kind of an alternative band that's big out on the West Coast, and the Mother Hips, and you know, really enjoyed that show. But you know, it's hard. Not again. You know, we know who we like to see, and you know, I tune into all of the podcasts. They've been doing a great thing with on Fish TV with showing Trey's weekly sessions at the Beacon Theater, which have just been outstanding. The musicians he's bringing on to play with him, and all of it is great. But you know, for those of us who like this kind of music, it's not just because we like sitting around listening to it. It's because we like to be there and be in the middle of it and, you know, wait for the unknown and what's going to happen this show that's never happened before. And we want to be there for it. And just being with all of our friends and in that environment. And, you know, I have to say that as much fun as it is watching and listening to these shows, it also, you know, creates a little bit of homesickness, not being able to be out there doing the real thing.
Yes, it sure does. Well, as we were talking with Greg Washington, hopefully we'll have Jazz Fest. Hopefully this vaccine will be out shortly and will take effect and we'll be over this pandemic. I do have a small musical plug. our son Jack Marty's band Swerve.
Yeah,
they went to the studio and recorded a CD of all original music, and wow. So look at that on YouTube and other various outlets. But the name of the band is Swerve.
Okay, well, let's talk to our good friend Dan Humiston about getting some notice on our webpage for that as well. That's, you know, that's family, for God's sakes.
Yeah. He was in the studio and recorded on the same grand piano as How to Save a Life was recorded on.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
And what was the band that did How to Save a Life? Oh, God.
It was at the show. It started that a medical TV show. I'm chuckling because it was the first concert that my son ever saw, and my wife took him to go see it. And, you know, now of course he's, very big on, The Fray is the name of the band.
Very good. Thank you.
Well, I'm thanking Google and my ability to type it up very quickly and still be able to talk while I was doing that. But, you know, he went off to see The Fray and came home, and, you know, I had my own little quiet internal chuckle until he said, "Hey, you know what? Live music is live music. It doesn't matter who it is. And as long as you're going and seeing it, you're having a good time."
Very good. Well, I see we're coming to the end of our time slot. This was a very, very good show.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. You know, we can't say enough good things about people like Greg. You know, there's so many people who we come across who are in this industry to make money. And there's nothing wrong with making money. And if you can make money and make people happy at the same time, you know, all the better. But a guy like Greg, you know, really goes beyond that. And you know, he sees cannabis as a way to really help people, and not just help people, but, you know, help these people who are really, you know, I think we would have to all acknowledge, you know, probably the most, you know, special people we have in our society, the ones who are willing to risk everything to protect the rest of us. And, you know, depending on what decade you're in, sometimes it's fashionable to slam the military. Sometimes it's fashionable to love the military. But at the end of the day, I think we all have to respect the military.
Oh, absolutely.
Because it is. You know, in this world, they're the ones who keep us safe, and they're the ones who let us live in a society where we can have legal marijuana and we can go listen to bands like the Grateful Dead, and you don't have to worry if the message isn't perceived by the right people as being, you know, positive or not. And you know, sometimes I think we all take that for granted. What Greg had to say was great. And again, I would really encourage people to go listen to his podcast as well.
Yes, and I'm sharing a thought with you, Larry, that we should do an entire on the CBD side of the house, as he put it.
I think that's a great idea. You know, we've touched on it plenty. You know, and there's been a lot of topics out there that we've addressed, but there's certainly more than enough material for us to sit down and, you know, devote one or two shows even and really focus on the CBD side so that our listeners can have a real understanding of where that's at right now in terms of legality, what its future is as far as the federal government is concerned, and really, you know, what its benefits are and why it's something that should be looked at and taken as seriously as the marijuana market.
Yes. And there's so many now offshoots. There's CBG, there's Delta 9. So we can definitely fill a show. We'll do a little homework and research so we have a good show for everybody.
Yep. But the Alphabet Show.
The Alphabet Show, we'll call it. Very good.
There you go.
So I have here from Denver.
Okay, Jim, as always, it's a pleasure to check in with you. Have a safe drive back to Longmont. I'm going to sign out from here in Chicago and look out my window and see that it's dark and cold. And, you know, probably go put on some Grateful Dead and do what we like to do. So everyone have a good evening. Stay safe and enjoy your cannabis responsibly.